You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona homeowners. Let's get ready to get our hands in the soil. Here in the Outdoor Living Hour, we have Jay Harper. Wait, Jay.
Rick Cobert.
You're the tree wizard. Mr. Harper took a little leave of absence, doing a little family traveling and enjoying some new grandbabies. So we've got Mr. Tree Wizard and Mr. Rick Cobert. Welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for being here. We today are talking about fertilizing citrus as it's Memorial Day weekend and one of our many traditions. So we thought, well, the Tree Wizard should know probably one or two things about citrus fertilizing that we can help share with Arizona homeowners. But before we get there, if you aren't in a market that carries our 7 o'clock hour, you've got to get to rosieonthehouse.com at 11 o'clock when this program's over and listen to the interview we had with the sales and marketing director for the company that's reopening Castle Hot Springs. Now, Castle Hot Springs is a very famous Arizona resort, and why that's in all comes into this Outdoor Living Hour. As Rick was sitting here listening, you're like, hey, I know those palm trees back there at the resort, and you've got some nowhere else would you hear this on a Saturday morning about the history of palm trees at Castle Hot Springs and why it's so significant.
Well, it's very interesting. My professor when I went to Arizona State University was Dr. Vic Miller. And Dr. Miller wrote an article about Washingtonia palms. There are two varieties of fan palms, the skinny ones, which are called Mexican fan palms, Washingtonia robusta, and the fat trunk ones, which are called California fan palms, which are Washingtonia filifera.
Anyway, you got it, yeah, right.
Right away. So anyways, Dr. Miller's found a citation. The original or earliest sighting of palm trees back in the 1800s, late 1870s, was a botanist, a famous botanist from Germany named Hermann Wendland. And Hermann talked about seeing palm trees within 38 miles of Prescott, Arizona. And many other botanists said, well, that's impossible. The California fan palm would not have been seen within 38 miles of Prescott, Arizona. But if you look at the grove that's in Castle Hot Springs, that's probably the palms that he saw in the 1870s. And it's one of the earliest citations of the California fan palms in the Southwest.
Wow. And I had always heard the only native palms in Arizona were down in Yuma.
Correct. And it's the same botanist. You know, realize that In the 1800s, botanists traveled all over the world, and they would cite plants, and they would discover plants, and they would mark plants. So we didn't have television, we didn't have media, we didn't have the internet. And so these people would travel, wagons, sailing ships, and they would go look at plants. And so, yes, there is an allusion to the Kofa Mountain Range
right
near Yuma, early botanist sightings, but Hermann Wendland's sighting was claiming to have seen the palms within 38 miles of Wickenburg, which is fascinating.
Now, is that to say they could be indigenous?
Correct. And the interesting thing about those types of plants and botany is the seeds could have been transported by Native Americans and or birds. So the palms may have been planted by birds. They may have been planted by Native Americans. When the Castle Hot Springs were developed, we knew that there were palm trees there. Some people thought they were planted, but many people said they were native before the resort was developed.
And when you're talking about a bird carrying seeds, was that a African swallow or Asian swallow?
We could go with another story there. There's actually another theory about creosote bushes maybe coming from South America to North America, transported by an interpolar migrating plover bird. So botanists have lots of fun with plants, yes.
Well, what a fascinating story. We appreciate you sharing that. That was just something that organic happened while we were sitting here listening. And last time we had you on the air, Rosie had just gotten back from a trip in Europe where he read an article from another German botanist about how trees communicate through roots and scents and smells. And we were talking about that, and you're like, oh, yeah, I've read that book. It's blah, 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 and had a lot of great insight there. You're very well studied on the subject of trees and roots and, like, all things, what do you call it, botany?
Botany, horticulture, correct.
Botany, horticulture.
Yeah.
And a certified arborist?
Certified arborist, yes.
And if you'd like to join the conversation or talk to the Tree Wizard, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923, or if you need help sending a picture for a little plant or insect identification, you can email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Let's talk citrus. It is Memorial Day weekend, one of the three, Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day are the three rule of thumb, generally accepted. A lot of, I know John Eisenhower, a lot of arborists would rather see four times or a little bit more frequency and a little less. But for your average consumer, homeowner, citrus tree in the yard, those three times a year work pretty good, and we're in one of them. So let's start. How do we start fertilizing? You just grab a bag and dump it on, right?
Well, the best answer in horticulture is yes, no, maybe, and it depends. And so the correct answer to that is yes, no, maybe, and it depends. If you were a farmer, and I built a 50-acre organic culinary herb farm in Montecito, California, and I ran simultaneously a 28-acre hydroponic culinary herb farm in Ventura County. If you were a farmer, you would do a soil test, you would do a water test, and you would do a leaf tissue test analysis. And you would compare the nutrients that are in the soil to the nutrients that are in the water and look at the tissue analysis and see how the nutrients are taken up by the plant. The average home gardener cannot afford to do a soil water tissue test. So basically, we come up with a rule of thumb like Valentine's Day, Labor Day, Memorial Day, or Memorial Day, Labor Day. Some people would say not necessarily Valentine's Day. Some people say Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. So there are different schools of thought. Some people say fertilize every month from the growing season, from the end of February through the first part of September. Some people say four times a year. The best advice would be to follow the label directions on a bag of prepared commercial fertilizer that's designed for citrus. And most horticulturists, arborists would say to reduce the application by half. So instead of, you know, the fertilizer company wants you to purchase the bag of fertilizer and use it up as soon as possible, but it may be wiser to be judicious and use half a rate and maybe apply it every month. But, yeah, those three dates, Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day are great days.
And I don't know, did I mention we're broadcasting live at Sanderson Ford? I don't think I mentioned that. That's what the loud PA in the background is for customer service for their 63rd anniversary sale, the biggest sale they'll have all year. They've been ordering vehicles since January, just for the month of May and their anniversary month. So we're broadcasting live. You can come on down, get a cup of hot coffee, a donut, meet Rosie. You can ask your question live on person. I mentioned how you can call or communicate electronically, but I never mentioned you can stop by in person if you're in the Glendale area. We're on Maryland 51st Avenue. That's the halfway point south of Glendale. We're in the showroom on the north side, and we'll be talking to Sanders Ford probably in the 8 o'clock hour with a little bit about the details going on. They're always something revolved around nonprofit and charity work. They've got a big water drive. There's lots of water out front. So there's ways that you can participate there. So that's what the Loud PA is. You'll hear from time to time as we're talking about fertilizing citrus, and you'd mentioned going half and commercial grade. Let's start with the fertilizer. You've got granular and you have liquids. Most of your homeowners are set up for probably granular application.
Correct. Granular application is the simplest, easiest way to do it. The key to fertilization is always to be sure that the soil is relatively moist before you apply the fertilizer, and then water the fertilizer in. And you want to sprinkle that fertilizer, if you're using a granular fertilizer, out to the drip line of the tree. So start a short distance away from the trunk or the stem where it grows into the ground, and then uniformly distribute the granulars of the fertilizer out to the drip line. So if you're using a young citrus tree, you're fertilizing a young tree, you may only have a tree that the branches spread 2 feet, 3 feet, and you may be using a mature citrus tree where the branches may spread 15 to 20 feet. So the key is to sprinkle that fertilizer out to what we would call the drip line, the edge of where the branches go out. And then be sure that you water heavily after the application of the fertilizer.
And you had mentioned that you want your soil moist beforehand, too. So in the desert, looking outside, we're not going to get any natural irrigation, it looks like, for this weekend. So how much water are we having to put down ahead of time?
There's a really good guideline that's put out by the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association, and the acronym is AMWUA, and that stands for the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association. That guideline is called the Landscape Watering by the Numbers. Those are available on the Internet. It's an interactive...
WaterUseItWisely.com.
WaterUseItWisely.com, and that will give you the appropriate levels of water to apply. And it depends upon the type of soil that you have. Sandy soil, the water will infiltrate much more rapidly than a clay soil will. So the best is to realize that in Arizona, our battle is against the salt in the water. I like to tell people that if you were a farmer and you had your water analysis done, all water in Maricopa County has a leaching requirement somewhere between 15% and 30%. Which means that when you do irrigate, 15 to 30% of the water should pass beyond the root zone when you apply water. So it's always better to use a larger volume of water less frequently than it is to use a short cycle of drip irrigation. We used to all use bubblers and flood irrigation, and in the last 20, 25 years, we've developed drip systems, and we've had more of a salt problem because people have their drip systems come on for short intervals closer together. And it's always better to, let's say, put on 100 gallons of water every 10th day than it is to put on 10 gallons of water every day.
So that saturation gets below the root zone.
And washes the salt past the root zone.
And one trick that, it's one of those things, you hear it and you're like, oh, that wasn't so hard. I was trying to figure out my drip zone, and they were saying, well, you're not watering enough. I'm like, it only goes 6 hours, guys. I can't water any longer than that. And so we've got multiple times to start, right? I'm like, yeah, we'll start it again 6 hours later. Just set it up that at the end of that 6 hours, it just goes for another 6 hours, and there's four zones, so you could do a full 24 hours, and that would give you that 100 gallons. I thought, never thought of it that way.
You know, I consult, talking about Mexican fan palms again, I consulted to a man in Ahwatukee, and he had called me and said, I have bad salt burn on the leaves, the fronds of my palm tree. Will you come look at them? And so I go to look at the palms, and I was stunned at how much salt burn damage there was on the leaves of the palm. So I asked him, I said, how often do you water? He goes, well, it's set the same way it was when I moved in 3 years ago. He goes, I have 1 gallon an hour emitters, and it comes on every day for 15 minutes, 7 days a week. And these are large Mexican fan palms. Well, every day for 15 minutes, 1 gallon an hour emitter, he's just putting on a sprinkling of water, and the water evaporates and leaves the salt behind. So he said, what do I need to do? I said, you need to broaden your interval and increase the volume. So you need to put on much, much more water less frequently.
1-888-767-4348.